collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking with the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to another edition of Collegiately Speaking. We get together every week, talk about the latest with the Northwestern Wildcats, the Big Ten, college football. What a weekend it was. And here we are again, getting ready for week three. Dave Enning, joined by former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. I thought we would be here this week and talk about the 2-0 Northwestern Wildcats. Instead, they're 1-1. Dan, this, I hate to say it, this goes back to the era in which you played. Duke has had a habit of spoiling the party for the Wildcats.
Yeah, it's been brutal as of late. I think it's 5-0 or 6-0 at this point, the last couple of years. But unfortunately, I don't really like to get into deserving to win or lose, but Northwestern certainly didn't deserve to win that game. It was one of those games that, you know, you found yourself winning in the third and fourth quarter saying, how are we still up the way we're playing, specifically on offense? And at the end of the day, Duke just made more plays when it mattered in the last couple drives and then in overtime. So, you know, unfortunately, given the Northwestern schedule, you really wanted to kind of lock that into the win column, but it got away from them, and they made some changes on offense, which I'm interested to see how it turns out for them.
And we're going
to
talk to the new starting quarterback for the Wildcats, Jack Lausch. He's going to join us in just a moment. Yeah, if you look for the definition of a heartbreaker, this is the game that you're going to look at, because Northwestern led most of the night. They thought they got the ball back on a turnover on Duke's last drive at regulation. They looked at the video. The call of a fumble recovered by Northwestern was overturned. And Duke, which had missed a field goal on the previous drive, goes down, hits a field goal with 14 seconds left. Then Northwestern scores first in overtime. Duke scores in one play. Northwestern goes back down again. Duke scores again, and then Northwestern Pierce headed to the tying drive, which would give them a chance to win it with the two-point conversion, and a third down loss of yardage followed by a fourth down incompletion. That was the ball game. I mean, this is tough, but I think there were plenty of opportunities in this game for the Wildcats to win. And you go back to the beginning of the third quarter, they block a punt, great play, first and goal at the 9, and they come away with nothing.
It's just a lack of taking advantage of opportunities, right? That punt being the biggest one, not scoring there, and then missing that field goal. Unfortunately, the Northwestern offense continues to give the ball away and not really value the ball, as Coach Braun has spoken about. While Mike Wright, I think he only had one interception, there was probably three or four other ones that should have been picked off. So, you know, you're just not going to win games consistently, turning the ball over like that or getting that close. And then, again, you're not going to win many games in the Big Ten only scoring 13 points. You know, the defense and special teams is playing as well as they've played in the past couple years, and they're really standing on their head, and the offense is kind of leaving them out to dry right now. So I'm interested to see, you know, as the play calling from Coach Lujan evolves and as Jack Lausch gets into the game and, you know, how the game plan changes. I continue to want to see some easier throws, some moving the pocket, specifically with Jack early in the game to just get him involved. And if he's not comfortable with a look, just run. He's an athletic guy. I thought Mike Wright struggled a little bit about being decisive on his scrambles. There was a couple times where he was kind of caught between running and throwing. And, you know, when he ended up running, he only got a yard. And when he ended up throwing, it was almost an interception. So you just need to be decisive and take care of the ball. And you're going to be in every game. I think, you know, Duke only really drove the ball one time or maybe twice at the end of the game with those last two drives. Otherwise, you know, the defense was playing great. Obviously, with the block punt, special teams is playing great outside of the missed field goal. So it's a pretty complete team, you know, outside of shoring up the quarterback position.
Yeah, because you got some guys who can go out and get the ball, and you got to get them the ball. Guys like A.J. Henning, and he caught five passes the other night, but I believe, and I have to double check this, and I'll pull up the box score really quickly here, he caught eight passes for a total of 52 yards.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's getting touches, and it's clear that they're trying to get him touches, but everything just seems you know, a little bit too manufactured and too difficult, whether it be, you know, jet sweeps or screen plays or anything else. You know, I think there just needs to be a little bit more pace and free flowing of the offense to get those guys involved. Because you're right, between AJ and Bryce Kurtz and Covey, there's a lot of talent. And Calvin Johnson, there's a lot of talent on the outside. It's just, you know, there hasn't been an explosive pass game. And I don't know whether that's a quarterback thing or an offensive coordinator thing or a combination of both. But it's just, you're leaving a lot to be desired when you have that much talent on the outside. You can't find ways to get them the ball.
You know what I think is really exciting for this team on offense is been the play of Cam Porter. He's averaging over 5 yards per rushing attempt, ran for just under 100 yards the other night, which I think is the third best game or second best game he's had since his breakout season. He looks like the Cam Porter of old. And then you got some guys and Joseph Hyman and Caleb Komalafe who've shown their ability as well. So you got some depth at that position. You've got these receivers. The Wildcats have not given up a sack yet in two games. They gave up 51 sacks a year ago. And now they're going to go with another mobile quarterback in Jack Lausch this week.
Yeah, I completely agree. Cam's playing great. I think, again, my only complaint there is not giving him the ball more and trying to work the other guys in. Obviously, Hyman and Komalafe are talented guys. Komalafe still looks a little bit uncomfortable. He's a young guy, right? It's going to take some time for him to settle in and really trust himself to make explosive plays. I think he should be a little bit more limited in Hyman and Cam getting the majority of the touches, but you're right. He looks like the Cam of 2020, leaner, faster, you know, really great job catching the ball out of the backfield. So, you know, again, everybody's going to talk about that last call and going away from him in overtime, and setting yourself up for a tough 4th and 9 or whatever it was. Obviously, no one agrees with that call. It's easy in hindsight, but you know, you got to make people stop him before you start to do other things because he's just a dynamic player.
All right. So let's talk about Jack Lausch. You've got to know him, and you remember what it's like to get the word that you're going to make your first start at quarterback. Take us back to that and what's probably going through his mind this week.
Yeah, and it's an exciting time. Jack's a great kid, comes from a good family, local guy, as we know. He's been you know, training and waiting for this opportunity. So he was obviously disappointed coming out of camp, not being named the starter. But you talk to anybody in the building, he's only worked harder since he wasn't named the starter. So he's certainly, you know, physically and mentally ready. But nothing can really prepare you for running out on the first play being the guy, right? It takes a little bit to settle in. You know, I started playing, you know, when I was his age, just kind of filling in for Mike Kafka. And then I was the starter going into my junior year. So a little bit different situation. But the thing I would tell Jack is, you know, just get yourself kind of get the juices flowing, get involved in the game early, take a hit, right? There's so many times where you're just so jacked up, especially as a running quarterback where you have so much adrenaline, you just need to get hit or pushed over or tackled. And then things kind of settle in. But again, I would, you know, tell him and tell Coach Lujan, find a way early in the game to get him comfortable with some easy throws to build his confidence, right? You know, at the end of the day, you can't turn the ball over like Wright has been. So protect the ball, be decisive, and just make it easier on the players.
Now what's Mike Wright's role with this football team? Is he the number two quarterback? Is he a guy who's still got to be ready in case his number's called? I mean, it's kind of the same situation Jack was in, right?
100%. It's still, you know, I assumed both of these guys would play. I didn't know it would be this early, frankly. But it's a long season, right? There's going to be opportunities for Mike to come back in. He's a leader in the locker room. I'm sure he's upset, you know, he's still there for the guys and ready for his opportunity. But I would be shocked if there's not a point in the season where he's called on again to come in and win some games.
Taking the snap, this is Jack Lausch, and he will walk into the end zone for a touchdown. Jack Lausch, the sophomore from Brother Rice High School. We saw him at the end of last season in the Illinois game. They bring him in, they snap it to him, and he takes it in for a touchdown. The Wildcats within an extra point of tying the game.
That was a year ago, and hopefully a harbinger of things to come as Jack Lausch becomes the starting quarterback for the Wildcats this week. Jack's with us now from Evanston. Jack, Dave Ennett, Dan Percy here. Thanks for taking some time. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here and talk to you guys. Appreciate you guys having me on. And I'm doing awesome.
We talked to you last year, Jack, and a much different situation. And now you're going to be the starter against Eastern Illinois Saturday night. This is a big moment for you. I know it's a moment you've been waiting for. When did you get the news, and how did you get the news?
I got the news on Monday morning. Got in here for meetings, and then Coach Lujan asked to meet one-on-one afterwards, and kind of just told me straight up, you're getting the start this weekend, and then had a one-on-one with Coach Braun, you know, pretty soon after, and he told me the same thing. So I heard about it Monday morning, so pretty early in the week.
So I imagine you're pretty excited. I mean, you come here, you're playing in your hometown, you get your first chance to start as a redshirt sophomore, and it's, I know, a moment you've been waiting for. What are your emotions like right now?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm really excited. I'm really excited for the opportunity. I'm really happy. I'm really excited to go out and compete with my teammates. You know, you put a lot of hard work in, you know, all off season, and spent a lot of time with those guys, with other leaders on the team. And I'm really excited, and I'm happy, and I'm pretty grateful for the opportunity to go out and compete with those guys and you know, see some hard work pay off. And, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm just really excited and grateful for the opportunity.
Jack, Dan Persa here. Thanks again for joining us. Maybe talk us through your mindset going into the game, you know, what you're focused on. Obviously, there's a lot of excitement, but as you know from playing multiple sports and playing quarterback, you know, it's very important to control your emotions early and get involved in the game and manage the game. What's kind of your mindset in that those first few drives in the first quarter?
Yeah, my mindset is, I mean, first of all, just to do my job and compete, you know, get the ball to my playmakers in space. You know, sometimes that is me. A lot of times that's other guys. And just being efficient and just executing. You know, not chasing big plays, taking them when they're there. But, you know, the big plays will come, you know, as a result of being efficient with the ball. And just leading and competing, you know, being great operationally in and out of the huddle. Just doing the little things right. And, you know, trying to better the offense, you know, with the way that I operate myself. And, you know, just trying to stay ahead of the chains and play efficient football. And I think points will come from there.
Yeah, that's great. How's your relationship with Coach Lujan, and what can fans kind of look to in this game as the offense continues to evolve?
Coach Lujan's been awesome. I mean, ever since he got here, he has, you know, been a great coach, mentor for me. I've gotten a lot with him being here. He does a really good job of, you know, letting us play free, but also, you know, just right play and be efficient. He did a great job of helping us just trust ourselves and trust the concept. You know, so we have a great relationship, and you know, I'm really excited to continue to build that with him and you know, to play for him this weekend. So he's been great.
And obviously, you are, and I'm sure this has been pointed out to you, the second or the first Chicago native to start a quarterback for the Wildcats since another Catholic League guy, Mike Kafka. Hey, you probably had a chance to watch Mike play over the years, right?
Yep. He's, pretty cool, St. Rita guy. I heard that stat the other day, and that was pretty cool to hear. Pretty mind-blowing, honestly. But, yeah, he obviously was a great player here. He's done great things in the NFL, still is. And, you know, to hear that and to kind of be in the same conversation with him is pretty sweet.
Jack, is there a comparable for you starting a quarterback on Saturday to any moment you had in your baseball career? I mean, is there something that you can take from having been a terrific baseball player that you can put to use when you take the field on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, playing multiple sports has really helped me grow as a competitor. In whatever situation that is, you know, I personally believe, like, you know, the best practice I'm going to get for a fourth quarter late in the game is, you know, being in a clutch situation, you know, with two outs in the seventh inning. You know, I have to come up with a hit at the plate. Same thing playing basketball. Like, I think just being a competitor, you know, regardless of what sport it is, like, I think you build that skill and you gain that experience. And I think just really, you know, one other thing about baseball is, like, mentally you have to be very even keel, and I think you can't get too high, you can't get too low, and I think quarterback's the same way. You know, you have to kind of manage the team, manage the huddle, and regardless of what happens, like the most important play in football is the next one. So, you know, I think those two aspects, like it 100% carries over.
Visiting with Jack Lausch, quarterback for the Wildcats, Dave Ennett, Dan Persa here, collegiately speaking. When you arrived at Northwestern, what were the biggest things that you had to work on to get ready for this moment in your playing career?
Yeah, I think the biggest things, well, first of all, was I needed to build my body. You know, I've put on 20 really good pounds, 25 really good pounds since I got here. You know, I was a three-sport guy in high school. I wasn't, which I'm happy about, but like my body wasn't ready to be a Big Ten quarterback when I got in here. So a lot of great work in the weight room with Coach Spanos. And I think from a quarterback standpoint, just continuing to grow and become more confident in, you know, the ability to process and really get through questions and win a game from within the pocket. You know, I think playmaking is a huge part of mine and something that I'm really excited to continue to do and utilize because I do it really well, I think. But since freshman year, just understanding coverages, understanding how to get the ball on time, understanding pass protection pressures. Like, I think just growing as a quarterback and growing within the last system I had and then this system I'm in now, I think that's the biggest thing. It's just understanding this coverage, the ball needs to go here and it needs to get out on time. And, you know, if my first read's not there, like, I can get to the second and third reads. Like, that's why they're there. I don't have to pull my head down and run. You know, like, you can kind of get away with in high school. So I'd say just understand how to win from within the pocket and then also build my body was a big thing.
Very good. So you're playing in your hometown. You're playing at Northwestern Medicine Field on Saturday night. I know there are going to be a lot of people there. Students are back this week, right? What's it been like to be there for these first two games? And how many friends and family are you going to have at this game Saturday?
Yeah, about the first two games, the atmosphere has been awesome. This stadium is pretty sweet. You know, I think people were really excited about it, but like we're all, at least all the players, like we're really happy about how it turned out. And we think it's a really cool atmosphere. And as far as this weekend, I think there's a lot of people coming. I've gotten a lot of texts from family and people from home saying that they'll be there. And I'm sure there's more that haven't reached out that are probably coming, which is cool. It's cool to see that support. And I'm excited. I'm really excited for Saturday and to see all that support there for not only me, but, you know, for my teammates as well.
It should be a great atmosphere. Hopefully the weather's a little warmer this week and the wind dies down a little bit, at least when you guys have the ball. And we'll look forward to it Saturday night, 6:30 kickoff. Hey, Jack, we really appreciate the time. Good luck. We'll see you out there on Saturday and best of luck all season.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate you guys. I love coming on here, so I'm excited.
Right. Anytime, thanks, you got a standing invite.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, buddy. We'll see you.
All right,
there
see
you
guys.
Go. That's Jack Lausch, quarterback for the Wildcats, and the description there of how he's prepared for this, Dan. I mean, that sounds like a blueprint that you would want to cut and paste and hand out to all your incoming freshmen.
Yeah, and I think his experience mirrored a lot of mine when I was at Northwestern. You know, came in as an athletic kid, played a bunch of sports, you know, wasn't the most polished passing quarterback, but felt really good about myself from an athletic standpoint and had to learn pretty much everything, right? From footwork to proper mechanics, to coverage, to everything else. And it takes time. It's going to take you 2 or 3 years to feel really comfortable about everything. So that just sounded very familiar for me. And I've heard the same thing from coaches, right? It's like, hey, Jack's going to be the guy at some point. He's a great leader. Works really hard. Just has to get bigger. He just has to work on his mechanics a little bit. He's a baseball player. Still kind of throws it like a baseball. So I think he's made a big jump this last year. So really excited to see him get out there. Because I think he's just going to be a fun player to watch develop.
He has to get Persa strong, right? Yeah. Is that what you're
Sounds
saying?
Sounds like he did. 25 pounds.
That's, yeah, pretty
that's a
good.
Lot.
Pretty
a lot
good.
Of beef there.
All right. Eastern Illinois, 1-1. Watched them against Illinois in their opener. They lost 45-0 in Champaign. It's an FCS school with great history, great tradition. Great coaches have come out of there. Terrific quarterbacks that fans are familiar with. Jimmy Garofalo and of course, Tony Romo. And they have a good background, good history. The fact is that you're an FBS program, and you're supposed to beat an FCS school. It doesn't always happen. And Northwestern fans have found that out the hard way a couple of times over the years.
Yeah, I think, you know, these guys, whether they were there or not, right, it's a real possibility. So, you know, the way college football is today, there's so many talented players. And whether you end up at Eastern or Northwestern, there's still a path to the NFL as the guys you've mentioned. So I'm sure they're not taking them lightly, especially coming off the Duke game. But in the back of their minds, they know if they play well in the first quarter, this game could roll pretty quickly. And I think that's what they're looking for, right? To get more experience in different guys and prepare for the Big Ten season, which is coming at them in a hurry.
Even though they're an FCS program, they have a lot of guys, to your point, who are transfers from FBS schools. So there are so many good players around. Everybody's got some, and it's a question of, how many do you have? And here's the other mitigating factor, I think, in this is that you have some guys coaching this football team, the Wildcats, who coached at the FCS level. And I think that David Braun, even though Howard played the Cats close last year, I think he understands the mentality of the opponent coming in because he's been in that situation.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think the FCS guys are really looking at it as their opportunity to come in and play spoiler, whether it's an NIU versus Notre Dame or some of the teams Northwestern has played in the past. I mean, this is their Super Bowl, right? They're viewing this as an audition to potentially jump from Eastern next, you know, after this season into an FBS team. So I think they want to show their best and they have no downside, right? So they can pull out, you know, every trick in the book against Northwestern, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. There's just, you know, it's pure upside for them.
Well, 6:30 kickoff Saturday night. Before we get out of here, we got to get to Super Joe's predictions of the week.
Prediction: to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's predictions.
Thanks, guys. A tough weekend for a handful of Big Ten teams. The Cats lost past my bedtime on Friday night. The reigning national champs were humbled by an impressive Texas squad. Iowa lost at the buzzer to their in-state rival. Even Penn State and Oregon struggled in home games against teams they were favored to beat by multiple scores. Notre Dame, who's Big Ten adjacent, suffered the biggest upset of the weekend, though, when they lost to NIU in South Bend. They were favored by 4 touchdowns. Sheesh. But hey, at least none of them are Florida State. Eh? Eh? Waka waka. On to this week's pick. We're used to Washington playing Washington State at the end of the year during the same week as the Iron Bowl and when Michigan plays Ohio State. But when the Huskies left their in-state rivals behind when they joined the Big Ten, it didn't leave a lot of options. So we get the Apple Cup this Saturday as a neutral site game in Seattle at 2:30 on Peacock. Washington quarterback Will Rogers may be new to the UW roster, but this is far from his first big game atmosphere. He started out in the SEC at Mississippi State. The Bulldog turned Husky has played Alabama 4 times, including twice in Tuscaloosa. He's also been a visitor in Death Valley against LSU and has competed in 2 Egg Bowls against Ole Miss. Don't ask me about his record in those games. Hint, it's not good. But neither were those Mississippi State teams. My point is he won't shy away from the moment. Arizona transfer running back Jonah Coleman has gone for over 100 yards in each of the team's first 2 games. Receiver Giles Jackson is averaging over 10 yards a catch. Give me Jed Fish to win his first Apple Cup and help get me off the schneid by covering the 4.5 against Wazoo. Back to you.
All right, Super Joe, thank you. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Collegiately Speaking. Many thanks to Jack Lausch for jumping on with us, our producer Jack Heinrich. Dan, we will see you next week, and we'll look ahead to the game against the Washington Huskies to begin Big Ten play in the brand new revised Big Ten Conference.
Hopefully after a win. Yeah, it should be fun.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. That's Dan Persa. Don't forget, we'll be with you 6:00 Central Time Saturday from Northwestern Medicine Field, the Wildcats and the Eastern Illinois Panthers on WGN Radio. Now I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for joining us this week, everybody. You've been listening to Collegiately Speaking.